It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, November 24th. I'm Patricia Naft. Recently, a local nonprofit hit a milestone, 10,000 hours exchanged. KBNF's Laura Pomisano explains.
Members of the Time Bank of the Rockies trade their skills for services. Cynthia Harwood is the organization's executive coordinator.
We're basically an alternative economy that helps people get goods and services that they need without paying cash.
Harwood says she wanted to start a time bank in the area after hearing about them on KVNF. Now the three-year-old organization has more than 200 members in Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties.
The idea is that everybody has something to offer and everybody has needs, and so you just exchange within the membership and everybody's time is equal. So 1 hour given is 1 hour received.
For example, a person logs an hour of computer repair for someone. Then they can trade that time for something else, such as language lessons.
Oh, I've done lots of things, everything from painting to car sitting. I've received lots. I've actually had some legal help.
Harwood says most members are older females.
I would love to have more men and young people in the time bank. So really, any age can be involved in the time bank. Our youngest member is 7 and our oldest is 92.
Time Bank of the Rockies now also has a permanent desk at Proximity Space in downtown Montrose. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
After a recent suicide at Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction, school officials and staff are galvanized in their effort to halt the unsettling trend. 14 students have killed themselves in the past 5 years. Aaron McIntyre with the Daily Sentinel has been covering the issue. KVNF's Jake Ryan recently talked with her about the problem.
Aaron, could you tell me about your recent piece about CMU?
Sure. We decided to do a three-part series about the increasing suicide rate on the campus at Colorado Mesa University. And basically what prompted it was not only the high suicide rate, but also the college's reaction to that. For the first time, they've decided to hire a suicide prevention coordinator on campus to try and fix this problem.
How bad of a problem are we talking about?
Well, the college officials say that one suicide is too many, but the truth is that they've had 14 suicides among the campus population in the last 5 years. And even in the 2013-2014 year, they had 3 deaths due to suicide. And, you know, that's a pretty high rate considering the campus. That is 4 times the national rate for college campus suicide rates. And so it is alarming for the college officials, definitely. I should note that we have a high rate of suicide in Mesa County itself as well, but it's not as high as the rate that we see on campus.
Is there any idea why this rate is so high at CMU?
You know, that's a great question. We don't really know the exact answer to that, but the college officials, when they applied for this grant money from the federal government asking to hire a suicide prevention coordinator on campus and take measures in education and prevention on campus, they did identify a few things that they feel like could be done better. The most important things I think they mentioned were a lack of education. They don't have enough people trained in these suicide prevention methods. There's one called ASSIST training, and it's a 2-day long training where you basically learn the steps to, you know, intervene in a suicide prevention situation where someone might be having suicidal ideations. And so they don't have enough people on campus currently to train all of the professors and all of the campus housing folks and, you know, anybody who might encounter this situation. So that's one thing that they're hoping to rectify with the hiring of the suicide prevention coordinator.
And one thing your piece in the Daily Sentinel also focused on or touched on was the question of how far the school's responsibility in preventing suicide goes.
Right. There's definitely a gray area. I didn't get into the legal issues that much, partially because there's case law that directly conflicts itself. So, you know, it's not really clear as to what the actual liability is that the college has in this situation, but they certainly feel an ethical responsibility. And the college officials told me basically anything they can do to try and prevent this from happening, even though we're dealing with adults. I mean, this is not a normal sort of tenant-landlord relationship. As far as, you know, if you look at people who are residents on campus, it's not that same kind of relationship. It's obviously more than that, but we're not quite sure exactly how the courts are going to treat this in the future. And, you know, quite frankly, the college officials told me that, you know, they aren't really concerned about what the courts are doing necessarily. It's more of an obligation that they feel towards the students. And in that respect, they're going to try anything they can to prevent suicide.
Erin, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
That was Erin McIntyre with the Daily Sentinel talking with KVNF's Jake Ryan about the suicide rate at Colorado Mesa University. The vast majority of Republican state lawmakers recently sent a letter asking Governor John Hickenlooper to block Syrian refugees from coming to the state. But as Benta Berkland reports, some Republicans refused.
Republican State Senator Larry Crowder of Alamosa says Colorado and the country should not change the refugee resettlement program in the wake of the Paris attacks. He was one of 10 Republicans not to sign the letter. He says politicians are reacting with fear.
When you talk about a people that drop everything that they had and run for their lives, what we need to do is start realizing what our responsibility as a world citizen is.
Legislation is currently making its way through the U.S. Congress to pause Syrian refugees from entering the U.S. Colorado's Democratic Congressman Jared Polis joined with the GOP to support the bill. Meanwhile, Governor Hickenlooper says he's comfortable with the two-year vetting process. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Holiday drivers are likely to see the lowest prices at the pump in 7 years this week. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce says gas prices in Colorado should average around the $2 mark this week.
Gas prices are falling all over the country. Will Spears, a senior petroleum analyst with GasBuddy.com.
Yeah, things are crazy right now.
He says continued low crude oil prices are leading this downward charge, and gas stations are switching to cheaper winter fuel blends. And prices could keep tumbling.
I don't think we're at the bottom yet.
Spear predicts Colorado's prices could drop to about $1.80 per gallon by the end of the year. What's good news for drivers isn't so good for the oil and gas industry. Federal employment figures show at least 70,000 jobs have been lost since the oil dive. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
The numbers are in on Colorado's voter turnout for the recent election. Participation dropped, with only about 36% of eligible voters actually voting. This was an off year without any big candidates on the ballot. Last year's off year was 2013, which saw a much higher voter turnout of 46%. But it was also the year that voters decided the fate of Amendment 64, recreational marijuana. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.